I have heard of Christians long ago. They were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die.
Hallelujah.
For the Son of great angelic fire scenes. You can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength. The cause of Jesus still goes on. To count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the hope, for the one who died. Trumpet sounds on the final end. You can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength.
Amen. We pledge allegiance, desiring the Holy Ghost, as our brother was preaching. Amen. And in the closing days of time. Amen. His time is so close. Amen. I'm not looking to Joshua's wedding. I'm not looking to him graduating. I just know that I know that I know that I know. The signs are about us. He's coming soon. Sister, if you can find it. In these, the closing days of time. Oh, what joy is hope the conqueror for. That soon, oh, wondrous truth, sir.
Hallelujah.
Oh, he shall reign.
Coming, it's coming.
comfort one another by His word.
Oh, we comfort one another. He's coming
soon.
Soon He's coming very soon. With joy we welcome His return.
The signs around everywhere testify of one thing, that He's coming soon. Friends, it's getting close. How wonderful. But it's a fearful hour as well. But it's a good thing the Lord has given us an opportunity once again to gather in His house, to come before Him. Let's open Genesis 22. We do greet you, saints, in Jesus' name this evening. Genesis 22. Let's read from verse 7 up to verse 9, first of all. Good old familiar scripture, Genesis 22. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's pray. Father, we come unto thee upon this evening so glad that you are still Jehovah Jireh. Father, you are still the same one. Father, you are still the one who provides everything that we need. Father, you never call us to something without providing what we need to fulfill what you've called us to. So, Father, we look unto thee upon this evening. Father, just wanted to come unto thee. Father, we just want to fellowship with you. Father, we've heard from the world. We've heard the opinions of people. Father, all the things that would surround us. But, Father, we just want to hear from you. We just want to hear the certain sound once again upon this evening. We're just looking unto thee to speak unto our souls. That's something inside, Lord, that guides us and leads us. That's something that puts strength inside of us, Lord. Father, that you may stand upon the absolute. That you may stand, Father, in this hour to give you the glory. We do pray for each person gathered in your house upon this evening, your special blessing upon them. We pray for them that have traveled. Be with them. Watch over them. Father, give them traveling mercies. Lord, bless them on their holidays. Bring them safely back. And Father, us now, Lord, as we approach the sacredness of your word, Father, we just want to take off our shoes because, Lord, we desire to come into holy ground. We desire to be in that place, Lord, that you may speak from the fire, that you may speak unto us, Lord, no matter the circumstances that we'd be in, that, Father, you would guide where guidance is needed, that, Father, you would correct where we need correction. That, Father, whatsoever it would be that your will for us would be, let it be done upon this night. Bless them at home, the mothers at home, them that have managed to come this night. We consecrate them to thee. Father, we're looking unto thee. Bless your word. Bless your people. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Just want to take a small thought here before we come to pray, to take the thought of Jehovah Jireh once again. You know, Jehovah Jireh is such a sweet and a precious name. And the amazing thing about the names of the Lord, now you find that even in your own experience, you know, no matter how far we've gone, but anybody who's had any experience with the Lord, the times that you really get to know who He really is, the times that He manifests Himself, are many, many times the testing times, like we find with Abraham. You find each time that the Lord revealed Himself in His seven redemptive names in the Old Testament, down through the ages, There was always something that went with that manifestation. When he revealed himself, it was because he had brought people into a certain condition, a certain situation, and then he himself would step down right into that situation and manifest himself. And it was something which, like here with Abraham, you know, situations where God does something for a person, God does something for a people that the people can never forget. And Abraham, he made a memorial. He took and made an altar, and he called the entire mountain where this took place, he called it Jehovah Jireh. Now, it was something that had happened to him, something which he had experienced at this time that he never wanted to be forgotten. He didn't want to forget it himself, and he didn't want the generations to come to forget it. That's why even Moses, writing this account in his day, he says, to this day, it's called Jehovah Jireh. And that's what these kind of testimonies really do. But, you know, there's no testimony without a testing. You know, there's no testimony without a test of faithfulness. Because the testimonies come to us in the line, the path of obedience, the line of duty. And Abraham here, this was the greatest test. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and saith unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. So it was a test. The prophet says he tested him. And Satan tempts us because temptation, Satan is dealing with the fallen part of our nature. So when Satan comes, he's trying to play on our fallen part of our nature to tempt us to do that which is wrong. But when God tests us, testing is working on the redeemed part of our nature or the places that God is trying to establish and strengthen. So God tests us. He puts us in situations to refine us, to purify us, to do those kind of things inside of our lives. So God came to Abraham to test him. And he gave him, this is one of the greatest tests that you'll ever find in the Bible. And it's amazing how Abraham conducted himself in that test. We know the story very well. But the thing which I love about this is that Abraham, right from the beginning of this chapter, God already had prepared him for this test. You know, he knew right from the beginning, even when God came and asked him this most difficult of things to do, to take his son and offer him as a burnt offering. But Abraham already, God must have prepared him in some way, because God never puts us in a situation without preparing us first. He'll warn us. He'll minister to us. He'll try to do certain things inside of our lives to prepare us for situations to come. That time when the Lord said to the prophet, separate yourself. Go out into the woods. I want to speak to you. And he was with Brother Fred Sothman. And then he went out into the woods. And then the Lord said to him, there's a trap set for you. Be careful what you say. And the prophet, one good thing about him is he heeded to that voice when the warning came. And he says, and I went to church at evening and I told the church and I told them, there's a trap set for me. Please pray for me that I may know what to say, that I may handle myself the right way when the test comes. Now, God doesn't want any of us to be caught in that situation where, you know, a test comes and then it works out for the good of the enemy. You know, it weakens our faith. It weakens our test. That's never God's desire. If God puts us in a situation, he puts us in a test, he wants it to come out the way that it came out in this chapter. He wants there to be a memorial. He wants to make himself known in a way that he never made himself known before. Because nobody in the scripture, from Adam, Adam knew him as Jehovah Jireh. I'm sure Adam knew the seven redemptive names of Jehovah in a sense. He knew the nature of God, although he never experienced redemption as of yet. But right from Adam, when he fell, no one had ever known God as Jehovah Jireh. He had never revealed himself in that kind of a way. So in order to reveal this name to Abraham, Abraham had met him as El Shaddai and had met him as Adonai and different names that God had manifested himself to. But in order for the Lord to express this particular part of who he was, this part of the greatness of his being, he had to put Abraham in a certain situation. And the prophet says, whatever God did to Abraham, he does to his seed after him. That's why these things, we can so relate to them in our own experiences, because God leads us as the church and leads us as the seed of Abraham exactly the same way that he led Abraham. So many times he puts us in these situations. But you can see by the way that Abraham handled this situation. You know, because the greatest enemy in any testing time, in any time like this, is your own reasoning, your own understanding. Now, the moment that you start leaning on your own understanding, you know, you're going to get yourself in trouble. But Abraham had a revelation. And his revelation was, Jehovah shall provide. He knew that. Jehovah shall provide. The name Jehovah Jireh means God will see to it. Or God will provide. The word provide, we've said it before, it comes from two parts. Pro, meaning beforehand. And vide, video, means to see. So God sees things before they happen. So God, when he provides, it means he's already made a provision even before you get into that situation. That's how what God does. God will see to it. That's what Abraham says. That's how we say. If somebody says, oh, this needs to be done, you say, don't worry, I'll see to it. You know, I've already got it under control. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of this. That is what the revelation of Jehovah Jireh is that God will see to it. It hasn't come by accident. It hasn't come by misfortune. Nothing's out of control. Nothing's out of cater. Everything's working just fine in the eyes of the Lord. And in his due season, he will see to it. And when he sees to it, that's when he manifests himself. So when Jehovah sees to it, that's when we see who he really is. That's when he reveals and he manifests himself and he makes himself known to us in some new kind of a way. And we can be like Abraham and we can, you know, take that altar which we had offered an offering on, and it becomes something special to us. It becomes an experience or a revelation. It becomes something so personal to us that we never want to forget. You know, those kind of seasons and experiences in your Christian life where the Lord really did something for you. You know, it was so precious, it was so real that you never want to forget that. It's like you want to do like they were doing the Bible. You want to take a pile of stones and make a memorial. And that memorial wasn't made to honor Abraham in any way or to honor people in the Bible. That memorial was to, as a memorial of the great works and deeds of God on behalf of his people. And friends, those are the stepping stones that we need on a regular basis in our experience. I love it when the prophet says, he says, if you don't experience the supernatural in your experience on a regular basis, you'll get dry, you get cold, you get backslidden. You know, each and every one of us, friends, the supernatural realm is so real. That when you just humble yourself before the Lord, you just seek him with all your heart, you're going to meet him and you're going to find him. And God, he'll reveal himself to you and manifest himself to you. Now, whenever you seek him, but there's these certain seasons and times, like when Abraham went through this, that God put him in a certain situation of need. Now, God led him right into this situation so that God could reveal himself as the answer to the situation. God was going to do something which it was absolutely had to be God. There was no other way the situation could change. It had to be God. The prophet says, God takes a man to those sacred sands. We said it last week. He says, and the reason he takes him to those places, those crises in life, those times of trouble, those times of lack, those times of sickness, whatever it is, God brings you to those sacred sands where he'll reveal himself to you in a way that you'll never forget. Nothing will ever take it away from you. He says, and all the devils in hell can never take that away from you. No matter what Mr. Critic and Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Unbeliever tries to reason with you down the way, you were there. And those are the most precious things and the most precious times. When he presses you, the prophet says he presses his people down to those sacred sands. He says those crises, you know, those sorts of times where if you had to choose the circumstance, you would never choose yourself to be in that kind of a situation. You would never want to pass that way yourself. Would Abraham ever have chosen to have to take his son, take the wood, take the fire, take the knife, go 3 days' journey, take his son up a mountain, and be willing to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering? What could be a more stern, a harder test than that? But Abraham, right from the beginning of this test, he walked by faith. There was a revelation. There was something that was real to him. And what was real to him was God will provide. God is going to provide. He couldn't understand it. Maybe the devil would come and speak to his mind and say, you're going to kill your son. Your only son that you've waited 25 years for. You're going to go and kill him. You know how Abraham would answer? God will provide. I may not be able to answer that, but God will provide. Something is telling me, I don't know how he's going to provide. I don't know what he's going to do, but God is going to provide. Maybe the devil would come and say, how are you ever going to face up to Sarah once again? How are you going to go down to these people that you testified to? Down there in the plains of Mamre, you know, the Amorites in them. That you've testified of the goodness of God, and there's only one God. And you've testified against all these pagan things that they do, like offering their children as sacrifice. And are you going to do the same thing? How are you going to go back to your wife? How are you going to go back to those people? Abraham didn't reason it out. He just said, God will provide. God's going to provide. There's something just declaring itself to me that God will provide. There's something taking place here which is beyond reasoning. It's beyond human understanding. There's something, this is God's personal dealings with his sons and his daughters. And friends, in those kind of times, don't give yourself over to your own understanding. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. That those kind of times, be careful the voice that you listen to. You need to listen to the voice of faith. You need to listen to that voice that is declaring itself to you. Because God will never lead a person into a trial unless he goes with that person into that trial. When God says to Abraham, I want you to offer a burnt offering. It's God's responsibility to provide something as a burnt offering. If God's leading him in that situation and saying, Abraham, it pleases me for you to offer a burnt offering to me. God himself is going to provide a burnt offering. And Abraham knew that. He knew God will never lead you to a place where his grace won't provide what you need. And that is why Abraham knew the place of manifestation, the place of reality, the place of God's blessing, when God manifests himself and works on behalf of his people, is in the line of obedience. It's the line of obedience. He knew all I need to do is obey. And if you really want God to intervene on your behalf, he'll intervene when you have wholehearted obedience. This wasn't a reluctant obedience. When the Lord says, Abraham, it pleases me. I have a desire. Take your son, your only son. Go and sacrifice him. Abraham didn't delay and try to find reasons why to put it off till later and try to find reasons and excuses and go and reason with the Lord and say, Lord, but rather, you know, let me offer something else. Let me take the choice of my flock. Let me take the greatest of my servants instead of my son. He doesn't do that, but he's wholehearted. You can see by the way he conducts himself. When the Lord comes and reveals his will to Abraham, this was a serious man. This was God's friend. That's why God says, Abraham is my friend. He was a friend of God. And God could trust him with that kind of a trial. But Abraham, wholeheartedly, he enters into it. There's a trepidation, there's a fear, because there's always a spiritual warfare at those kind of times. Because the devil also can sense when God is doing something. Satan, somebody asked me the question, now that it was a very good question, is, you know, if God knows, you know, if God calls you to do something, and maybe you wanted to be faithful, and you wanted to fulfill what God wants, and the devil wants to come and hinder the blessing. How does the devil know? Does the devil know the will of God? No, the devil doesn't know the will of God. But the devil can see where God is working. Amen. The devil can see that, there's something happening in this person's life. The devil can see angels ascending and descending. The devil can see the reaction in the life of a person. A person waking up early in the morning. The devil can see the fervency of somebody's prayer. The devil can see strength inside of somebody and that they're conducting themselves in a way they didn't do before. Now, Satan sees those kind of things. And it's Satan's responsibility in those kind of seasons to stop that work which God is trying to establish. But every single trial that comes, every single situation that God leads his sons and daughters into, God wants that to be a situation that it becomes a memorial. God wants it to be a situation that he does something there that you will never forget all the days of your life. Abraham could never forget this. Abraham would never forget that place called Jehovah Jireh. Abraham would never forget that altar that he had made and that he called that place and he called that mountain Jehovah Jireh. And he says, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He never forgot. And right the way down to the time of Moses, these hundreds of years later, the children of Israel still respected that place. because of what God had done to Abraham in that place. You know, and the blessings that God gives to us when we're faithful in those kind of times, and He manifests Himself, the blessing doesn't only come to us, the blessing spills over to our children and our children's children as well. That revelation that God gave to us, that reality, that way that He manifests Himself, we can now pass it on to our children. And there's such a reality, there's such a depth in the things that we say when we're speaking of personal experience. Now there's nothing as powerful as a personal experience. That's why that when the prophet speaks about Hudson Taylor, when that Chinese Christian came and said, "Mr. Taylor, you know, I've just received the Holy Ghost. What should I do now? Should I go and study and so forth?" You know, he says, no, don't do that. Don't let the fire dim. You go when that experience is still fresh. And you go out there and bear witness. He says, "But what am I going to say?" He says, "Well, go and tell how your fire got lit. Go and tell of that experience that you had." Friends, sometimes we underestimate the power of what God has done for us. David may have looked when he was called before Saul, like we said last week. He may have looked at his experience and says, "But I mean, what is a lion and a bear when I'm speaking to this great man?" But those were experiences that were real. Those were experiences that David himself had experienced. So when David came to King Saul, what did he speak about? He spoke of the experiences that he himself had had. He never spoke of anything else. He spoke of his personal testimony. And the prophet says the most powerful altar calls I ever had in America, the most successful, he says, when I preach my life story. Because that's personal testimony. You were there. You speak with a conviction. You speak with a reality. Friends, we can never speak of secondhand information the same way. No, we can never speak of somebody else's testimony the same way. God wants us to continually be accumulating in our experience testimonies, memorials, places where we met Him, places of need, places of extremity, places where you got to a Red Sea and you thought, "I just can't go on anymore. The enemy's got me hemmed in. I've been following the leadership of the Lord. I've been in the path of obedience, but look where it's come to now." And then God opens the way. And friends, people saw God in a way they'd never seen Him before. And to certain people, that was something. That's why they came out and they raised up a pillar. They raised up something as a memorial of what God had done for them. And that's why people in the Bible would do those kind of things. When God came and revealed Himself to Jacob, when he was running away from home and he laid the pillow down, the stone, and he used it as a pillow. And then he saw the ladder between the heavens and the earth. And he saw the angels ascending and descending. Then he saw the Lord speaking to him and telling him, "I'll bless you, I'll keep you, I'll bring you back unto this place." When Jacob woke up in the morning, what did he do? He took that stone and he put it up as a pillar and he anointed it. And he let it become a place. He called it Bethel. He let it become a place where it was a memorial, it was a testimony. God spoke to me here. God spoke to me. Friends, when God does something for you, it's so easy for us just to try to move on to the next stage of life. It's so good at times when God has dealt with you, when God has been good for you. Raise a memorial. Do something so that you make sure that experience is one that you never forget. Testify of it. Do different things so that that experience becomes really something inside of your armory, something inside of the experiences that you've had that you'll never get away from. Because it's something that was personal, it was done for you. And we find that with Abraham. So when God calls him up now, Abraham hasn't known him yet as Jehovah Jireh. Now he doesn't know yet the reality, the fullness of who this God really is in this kind of a way. So God puts him in a situation now. And Abraham has a great need. But Abraham, you know, like I always say, I so much liked once when Brother Biskel was speaking of his testimony of when there was that brown bear. And there was the caribou with the 42-inch horns. And Brother Biskel says, "I didn't realize at first that I was part of a vision. I didn't realize I was the man with the green checkered shirt that the prophet had seen in the vision." He says, "But you could just sense there was something taking place far greater than yourself." Isn't it like you were caught in a vortex somewhere? There was just something, you could sense something's going on here. And Abraham, I'm sure from the time that he heard that voice and the time he started to prepare for his journey, and all the way on the journey, he realized there's something going on here. There's something spiritual going on here. There's something bigger than me here. There's something that's important to Jehovah going on here. No, there's something here that I've got to just continue on in the path of obedience. But in that path of obedience, what did he do? He just listened to the voice of his faith. He just leant on that revelation. No matter what voice came, he just thought, God will see to it. God will see to it. When things would come in his mind that he couldn't explain, when fears would rise up that would want to hinder him, he'd push them aside through the power of revelation, through the power of the communion that he was having with Jehovah at that time. He'd push it aside and say, I'm not thinking like that. God will see to it. God will take care of it. And then finally, when he's with Isaac, coming right to the climax of the entire thing, and he's walking, and the prophet says, maybe he's walking hand in hand with his young son there, and his son is looking up into his eyes, and his son says, Father, here's the wood, and here's the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Friends, something took place there. When you're in the line of obedience, and you don't murmur in the line of obedience, you don't question in the line of obedience, but it's been revealed to you, and it's a spiritual reality to you at that time. This is God's will. This is what God wants me to go through at this time. Like I said, reasoning is your greatest enemy. The prophet says sight and time are your great enemy. Sense, like Brother Lubanza was saying, the seen. Don't look at the seen at those times. Keep looking unto the unseen. And God was doing something, and there was a reality in Abraham's soul. Abraham knew God's going to do something here. God is going to provide. God is going to see to it. The same God has led me into this situation. The same God has shepherded me into this line of duty that I'm in now. Surely he's going to do something. I don't know what he's going to do, but my faith is declaring to me that God is going to do something here. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to be. But something inside of me is declaring to me, God is going to see to it. Jehovah is going to see to it. And friends, is that not the testimony of a believer? You know, I just put it down in my notes here. I said, if you consider how many times already he's provided for you. How many times already he's seen beforehand and he's provided for you. How many times? It's good to go back to those stones, those memorials on a regular basis. It's good to go back to those anointed experiences where he revealed a new name to you, where he revealed something new in a certain experience to you. That's when, if you're musically minded, a new song comes at those kind of times. From those new kind of experiences, those new kinds of revelations. But it normally comes in the hour of trial. It normally comes in a testing time where, when you look back after, you say, I'm just so glad for the grace of God, because sometimes there I almost was going to make up my mind to say, this is too much. No, I can't go on with these things, but somehow something quickens you inside and you push the way through in the line of obedience. And then God in his season, he comes down in his own wondrous way. And he does something to you that is so personal and is so real. And he ministers to your need. And he didn't only minister to Abraham's need, but he greatly blessed him after he ministered to his need. He provided him with a lamb for a sacrifice for a burnt offering. But he didn't stop there. He came down and he blessed him. And he said, through you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And I've said it many times. I sometimes meditate upon it. Imagine how Abraham was feeling walking back down with his son. You know, when the victory's been won, when you've overcome yourself, when there's been an overcoming in your life, when like something's happened and Jehovah's broken through, and there's been a spiritual something took place, there's a victory, there's a change. The atmosphere is just so peaceful. In your soul, you're just so still. You don't even want to speak. You don't even know what to say. The words of men just don't seem to be able to express what you feel at those kind of times. Oh, friends, the trials are worth it. The testing's so worth it if it brings us to those kind of memorials. If it brings us to these kind of places that we can build an altar. And he meets us in such a special way, because an altar speaks of sacrifice. When the Lord says, go and offer your son as a burnt offering, you know who the greatest burnt offering was in the story? It was Abraham himself. Amen. Abraham himself offered himself because he offered his own will. He offered the most precious thing to himself. Now, he was the real spiritual offering in this entire account. And that's what the Lord looked at. The Lord was looking at Abraham. Now, his attitude and how he went all the way wholeheartedly. He never held back. He was never looking for an escape route. He wasn't trying to find an alternative. He wasn't trying to find some way to circumvent what he knew the revealed will of God was for his life. And friends, these are the memorials in your life. These are the stepping stones. The prophet says, Lord, please, let the mistakes that I've made be, help the people, let them be stepping stones to the people, not stumbling blocks. And those kind of times, Satan wants to make it a stumbling block. But if you'll just continue to be obedient unto your faith, if you'll just continue to listen to the voice of the revelation that he's given you at that time, if you'll cast down imaginations and cast down reasonings and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ, like Paul said, you're going to come to a memorial. There's going to come a breakthrough. When you get into those situations, you know what it's like. It's like there's so much spiritual warfare going on. There's conflict, there's pressure, there's this and that that's pressing down on you. But there's something inside of your soul that you know all is well. I'm pressing on. The voices are saying this side and this is trying to distract you, and this is trying to discourage you. But you don't listen to the voice of those things. You just listen to the voice that has led you into this line of duty, into this path of obedience. And then there comes a certain breaking point where it's like you break through. Something takes place. Something happens. Ah, friends, those are the most glorious times. You may be sick and you're wondering, but hey, you know, does this mean it's the end of me? And you're listening to the messages, you know, you listen to the prayer lines and you're praying, and you know, the voices are speaking to you, and there's a fear that wants to come, and there's an oppression and all that, but inside of your soul you say, no, God has put me in this situation so that he may reveal who he really is. He's put me in this situation for a purpose. Surely God will see to it. I don't know when he's going to see you. I don't know how, but something just declares itself to me. I'm not listening to these voices. I'm not paying attention to these other things. And then there just comes a certain time when Jehovah looks down and says, now's my time to see to it. And it just comes in at that time. And the atmosphere, something just breaks through your situation. And all of a sudden, like the prophet says, you've got 100 miles of elbow room. Before you were in a pressure, it was stress, it was a struggle, it was a battle. But now you break through the clouds and the sun comes shining through. And you see the skies are so blue. And you see the heavens are open. And you know it's finished. It's over. And you take your stones and you put them up now as a memorial. And you anoint it like Jacob did with the oil. And you say, I never want to forget this place. I never want to forget this. And you want to glean as much of that atmosphere, glean as much of that experience as you can at those kinds of times, because you know it's not going to last for that long before you're back into the next test of character, the next trial that he leads his sons and daughters into. But Abraham, friends, right at that time, imagine, just to show the spiritual condition that he was in, right in the midst of the crisis, right in the midst of the battle, when his son is looking up to him and saying, Father, I don't understand what's going on here. Whenever we've gone to sacrifice before, Daddy, you've always taken a lamb. Maybe you're starting to worry a little bit, Isaac, who knows? He knew that something's different. He could see by the solemnness of his father. He could see there's something taking place with Daddy at this time. Right in the midst of that crisis, to show his spiritual condition, when his son said, Dad, where's the lamb? Friends, he was in such a prophetic realm that he spoke, a prophecy for his day. Speaking of his situation, speaking of the coming of Christ, and speaking right the way down to our age. He says, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a sacrifice. Friends, imagine the communion and his trial he's having with God. Oh, that's when the prophet says that super anointing comes. The prophet says, I was almost beside myself. I'm sure Abraham could just feel this anointing just come down when his son asked, and he doesn't even know why he's saying it, but he's speaking from the faith of God. And Jesus said, have the faith of God. He now had the faith of God. He wasn't just praying to God like we said last week. He was praying with God. He was with, and when he spoke, he just knew that, yeah, something's taking place. God will provide for himself a lamb for a sacrifice. And then maybe he wondered, why did I say that? Maybe he didn't fully even realize it. And then when he gets up there and he takes out the sacrificial knife, because he has to do the duty of the priest, and he binds the offering, lays the wood in order, puts his son on the wood, takes the knife, he raises, about to plunge it into the bosom of his son. The angel stops his hand and says, Abraham, now I know that you fear God. Now I know that you'll obey me. Now I know that you love me more than anything. And friends, we said it a bit last week, but I believe that's where we're coming to now in this world. With these laws and all these things, that the Lord is just going to put people to a test to see, who do you really love the most? You know, God's going to test us before that final fullness of the third pool comes, like with Abraham. This was when he manifested the third pool. It was a time of crisis. It was a time of pressure. It was a time when there was so much to stop him going forth in obedience, so much he could have reasoned himself out of. But right when he was faithful, and he laid it all as a burnt offering and says, it doesn't matter. Somehow he gave me the son. Somehow he's going to see to it. Somehow he's going to raise him up again. Because he told me, in this son will my seed be called. He knew somehow. I can't reason it out. I can't understand it. But the prophet says that, remember the prophet when he was in the Colorado mountains and the storm came down, and he had told the brothers, he said, the moment you see the first flakes of sleet and snow, head straight to the camp, because sometimes in 15 minutes you can't even see your hand in front of you and you'll perish. And the prophet says, I went right up to the top, right on the mountains, and I could hear the brothers down below, and then it started now, that storm. He says, and I started down the mountain because I knew I'd got to get back to the camp. He says, and then that voice came and spoke and said, turn around and go back. The prophet said, go back. That meant certain death. Imagine that. He says, but the only thing I knew was to obey. Friends, that sounds a light thing, friends. That's not a light thing. When you know this voice, I know this voice, the same voice that spoke to Abraham, the same voice spoke to the prophet. And the prophet had come to such a maturity in his faith, such a reality in his experience and his walk with God, that he knew, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't really like the thought of what this is going to possibly be, but there's nothing else that I know to do but to obey. And friends, and when you now went in the line of obedience, and he went up, what happened? That's when the voice said, I am the God who created the heavens and the earth. I am the God who stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Speak to the storm. And that's when the third pull manifest. Friends, at those kind of times, like when Joshua stopped the sun, he was fighting the battles of the Lord. He was in the line of duty. He was wholeheartedly serving God. He was risking himself for the things of the kingdom. And there came a time of need, and Joshua spoke to the sun. And the Bible says, there's never a day since that a man spoke to God in that kind of, and God hearkened to the voice of a man. And Joshua stopped the sun, and the sun stand still, moon stand over Ajalon. And God hearkened to the voice of a man. Friends, at those kind of times, you know, the safest place in your life and mine is in the will of God. That's the safest. In the line of duty, just be faithful in the line of duty. Just be faithful to his voice. Don't reason it out. Don't listen to other people. Just follow His voice. If you haven't heard His voice, the prophet preaches, hear His voice. Go and get still. Go and shut yourself in with Him. Stay there. This is the same one that spoke to Samuel and called him and said, Samuel, Samuel. It says that same God wants to speak to you. The same God who led Elijah into the cave and came in a still small voice is the same one who wants to come to you. He wants to come and He wants to speak from the supernatural place. And when He comes, there's a supernatural something. When He comes, it's real and you know that it's real. And He'll come and He'll reveal His will, His voice to you. And the safest thing that you can do and the path of sure blessing and memorial and testimony is just be obedient to that voice. Hallelujah. Don't listen to it. Don't reason it out. Don't think this, that, and the other. You can tell inside of yourself you're getting yourself in trouble when the mind starts kicking in too much. When you're lying on your bed at night and you're reasoning it out. The prophet says, be careful. You will reason yourself right out of the presence of God. You'll reason yourself right out of the will of God for your life. Ah, friends. But if you can stay in that place that is real to your soul, you can stay in that place that you know that I don't understand what this means, but Jehovah will see to it. He will provide. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I'm going to hold on to the end. And even if your testimony has to come down like the Hebrew children to say, O King, our God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down. That kind of a testimony, friends, to say, even this is the end of me, I'm going down in obedience. I'm going down in the faith. The Bible says these all died in the faith. Those ones who are waiting for the rapture, waiting for the promises, they died in the faith. So the prophet says, when they come up, they'll still be in that same condition. It's like nothing changed for them. They died in the faith, although they saw the promises far off. They never obtained them, but they died in the faith, holding on. You know, I heard somebody saying that. He said, having gone to pray for people in the hospital, saints, and then they died and things like that. He says, you know, sometimes you'll wonder and say, but why did the Lord not heal that person? He said, but what a testimony to see someone right to their last breath, trusting in Him. Holding on right to the end, saying, no, my God is able. But even if He doesn't, I still won't bow my knee. I'll still serve Him. I'll still worship Him. When the prophet lost his wife and his child, and Satan came to him, he says, I almost started to reason. He said, I started to listen to what he said. And he said he was telling the truth. And that voice was saying to him, Satan was saying, after all that you've done for the Lord, after all your sacrifice, fasting, and then going to work, until you had to pray so weak from fasting that to climb the electricity pole to do your work, you had to pray to God for strength. He says, going out and preaching in the streets at night and coming back, sitting in the chair, sleeping a few hours and getting up again for work. He says, that voice said, after all that you've done for Him, then He won't hear you on behalf of your daughter. The prophet said he was trying to work in from the senses through to the spirit, trying to get to the soul to put in unbelief. And the prophet says, and I started to listen. I said, that's right, Satan. Friends, that's the greatest mistake you'll ever make is when you agree with the devil. Amen. Never agree with the devil. I remember somebody preached that once saying, never say amen to the devil. You'll be in trouble. And the prophet says, just at that time when it got to the point I was about to say, if that's how it is, I won't serve Him. He says, something came from within. Something came from within and said, who am I anyhow? Who gave me this wife? Who gave me these children? The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. Ah, friends, those kind of crucial hours, those kind of sacred sands. But those are the times that you have a memorial. And the prophet says, I never understood that when I saw my daughter laying there and her eyes crossing because of the pain of that tubercular meningitis. And the flies were in her eyes and she was suffering so bad. He says, it almost took the heart out of me. And I prayed and I said, Lord. He says, and even when she died, I couldn't understand. I said, Lord, maybe the mother I could understand because we both didn't obey and follow the commission to go to the Pentecostal. We listened to her mother. He said, but that little baby, I couldn't understand it. He says, and then when the Lord sent me out in those prayer lines, the prophet says, in 1 year's time, he says, there were 250 cross-eyed babies crossed the platform and not one left without being healed. He says, it takes the crushing of a rose to bring forth the perfume. He said, when I would see those crossed eyes, so imagine God allowed a sacrifice of his daughter to be to the benefit of the multitude. He's wise in what he does, friends, even in his chastisement. If we submit ourselves to his chastisement, it's going to work out as a testimony. And what he teaches you in those kind of times, those are the things that become effective in your testimony. Those are the things that become real in your testimony. So friends, I really love this story here of Abraham. And then he gets to the end of it all. And God comes down and reveals himself. And Abraham says in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Ah, friends, it's prophetic. Because where was the greatest act of Jehovah Jireh? Was in that same mount. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Mount Moriah. It comes to Golgotha. And there we find God providing a lamb for a sacrifice. Now Abraham spoke of things beyond himself, greater than himself. He was speaking of his situation, but because he was in the line of obedience, because God was wanting to teach something to him and to his seed after him, there was such an anointing when he came to that crisis that he spoke not just for himself, not just for a ram in a thicket, but he spoke of Christ on Calvary. God will provide for himself a ram. And friends, imagine the depth. Jesus says, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced to see it. And this was one of the places where Abraham saw his day. I'm sure Abraham, after that, he might maybe went to the Lord and asked him, Lord, what did that really mean? Maybe the Lord revealed it to him and said, Abraham, you don't know, but there's coming the real lamb. In the mount of the Lord, it's going to be seen. I'm going to show myself Jehovah Jireh. So as we close, let's just think, friends, of these memorials of what he's done for us. Think of when he's been Jehovah Jireh to you in the past. Think of when he was Jehovah Jireh before the foundation of the world, when the lamb was slain for your redemption. Imagine, that was Jehovah Jireh. Think of him being Jehovah Jireh that he came to you in your hour of need. Your hour of need was far greater than Abraham's because you and I were in sin and trespasses. We were hopeless. We were lost. But Jehovah Jireh saw to it. And in his season, he came and he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. I've already made a provision for your situation. I've already made a lamb caught in a thicket for you. Then think of the provision that he made in the message of the hour. Most of us here weren't even born when the prophet died. God was storing up something for you. Jehovah was seeing to it. He was looking down the way and he saw the need and he saw where we're coming to and he saw what's required down the way. And friends, he's already made a provision for it. He's already provided for our needs. And something we need to pray of tonight, even this place of worship. God gave us this place of worship. God saw to it and he was Jehovah Jireh. And he provided this place for us as a place of communion, a place of fellowship, a place of worship. Friends, he's the same Jehovah Jireh tonight. We're just waiting now to see the next part of the vision. He's the same Jehovah Jireh. He's already provided our need. All we've got to do, let's just keep going in the line of obedience. Let's just follow what he wants us to do. And friends, we'll see the next part. But friends, when he gives us the next place, let it be a memorial. Let it be a memorial to us. Let it be a place that we anoint. And a place that we worship. And a place that we praise him and thank him the way that Abraham did. And we'll say, oh Lord, surely you are Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Now the final thought, when Abraham made the altar, raised up a memorial, called the mountain, he didn't name it after himself. He never raised it up as a memorial of his own faith, although his faith was great. He never raised it up as a great testimony of his overcoming. He raised it up as a memorial of the goodness of God, of the faithfulness of Jehovah. This never testified of Abraham's faith. It testified of the faithfulness of God to Abraham to provide his needs. Our friends, that's what real faith does. When he does something for you, you don't even want to be included in the testimony. You want to testify of him. You want the memorial to be named after him. These people trying to raise up memorials in their own name, friends, I don't know what kind of faith that is. But the seed of Abraham, when God does something wonderful for you, you know it was Jehovah Jireh. It was his goodness, it was his grace. It was his loving kindness, it was his faithfulness. This was his unmerited favor. I never did anything to merit what he did for me. And friends, I think if you always keep that in mind, every testimony, everything that he does for us, let it be an opportunity for us to ascribe greatness to him, to testify of his faithfulness and his goodness, and now how he saw us through to the end of our trial, how he broke through just in time, how he never put upon us more than we were able to bear, but he was faithful in and with us right to the end of the trial. And the song says, the verse says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the believers sing the song, hold on, my child. Just hold on. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last for the night. Just hold on. Just keep holding on. How many times maybe we let go just before the memorial is going to manifest itself? Just before he's going to manifest himself on our behalf. Our friends, let's see whatever it is all the way through to the end. Whatever your trial is inside of your life, whatever your situation, don't use human reasoning. Don't use human instrumentality. Don't use your human gifts and talents and abilities to get yourself through that trial. It'll never be a blessing. Lay that aside. Lay yourself as a burnt offering and say, oh Lord, I'm waiting for you, because Jehovah will see to it. And friends, the song says, he's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. My blessed Lord has never failed me yet. We failed him so many times, but he's never failed us yet. And he never will fail, because he's Jehovah Jireh. He will see to it. Every time he leads you into a situation, he's going to see to it. He's going to provide. Like I said, he said to Abraham, offer a burnt offering. God is going to provide exactly what he needed to offer that burnt offering. That's the way it is in the line of duty. He will minister to your needs exactly what he's commanded, what he's requiring of you, if you and I are just faithful all the way to the end. So let's keep holding on, friends. And one of the greatest ways to keep holding on is through prayer. Amen. To renew your strength. Even the young men will faint, grow utterly weary. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Sometimes we need a fresh infusion of faith, because our faith is waxing dim. We need to come in his presence. We need to speak to him. And we need to let him come down and bathe our souls once again with that atmosphere that generates a faith and an expectation and a constancy and endurance, a wholeheartedness in us once again. And that's how we come to prayer. And that's how we gather together. Because friends, we want to hold on right to the end. We want to see what God has in his mind for us. We want to see right the way down to the end of this age, because he's already made a great provision. There's a third pull we've already manifested in a measure. You look inside of your life. The times that you've spoken, the times that things have taken place, like Brother David Nash was saying, you've already seen it in a measure, but the prophet says you won't see it in any great measure until the time that counsel starts to tighten up. Our friends, he's already made a provision. Let's be obedient to the end. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's stand, saints. Let's put our needs before the Lord this evening. Brother George, if you wouldn't mind, come. Let's sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Let's bring this once again. On Sunday, we'll be speaking about the situation concerning the relocation of the church. So if you'd really pray about that, we're really needing just to put certain things before the saints so that we can decide the best way to go. Really asking for your prayers about that. Let's pray for the saints that have traveled. Brother Virgus and his family have gone on holiday. Brother Vlad and his family on holiday. Different people have traveled. And Brother Francois was saying, we'd like to thank the Lord for Naomi's citizenship. It was very hard, almost hopeless, but he's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. So we thank the Lord for that. Let's worship. Let's come to a time of prayer. Jehovah Jireh. my provider. You are more than enough for me.
Jehovah Rapha, you my healer.
By your stripes
I be saved. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You supply your more than enough. Oh, you are more than enough. You are more than enough. Oh, let's give him the glory. You deserve the glory and the honor. As we lift your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Oh, as we lift your holy name, for you are great. So great, there is no one else like you, no one else like you, Lord. There is no one else like you. You are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, no one else. There is no one else like you.
That's what praise saints, we've sung to him. Let's speak to him now in Jesus' name. Father, thank
you for this day that you've given unto us, Lord. Father, thou art Jehovah Jireh. Let us come unto thee upon this day, Father, and speak by my faith, because I know, Father, that thou, Lord Jesus,
we come indeed before thee, Lord, even upon this time.
More than enough for us.
Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Father, guide us, Lord.
That you would help us, Lord, that you would keep us. Father, guide us. Grant us, Lord, that you would keep us and grant us your grace.
Give us, Lord, thy word and wisdom even about us.
Father, you may be glorified in all things, Lord, to do seek and ask and pray. As I want to look unto thee, Father, at this time, to wait upon the Lord and even upon this day, Lord. That is why we worship thee, Lord.
Would anybody else have any prayer requests? Let's remember the young people traveling as well to Switzerland, praying for the Lord's blessing upon those meetings. May it be a memorial for them.
Amen.
Imagine, oh, saints, what a wonderful thing it would be for the Lord to break through in the souls of young people, that they could have a place, a memorial, that they never forget all the days of their life, an anointed place, a place that He revealed His name, revealed Himself. Let's pray for that as well. Anybody else have any prayer requests? Any petitions? I know Brother George is working this weekend. Let's pray for him. Brother Max. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for Gideon traveling back to Ghana. And let's continue to pray that he doesn't finish his journey there. But he comes to help with our young people here as well. We pray that he'll come. Let's sing a little bit before we close in prayer. Let's remember Brother Vladi's family, they're away. Brother Vergus's family, they're away. The other needs that we have. Sunday service, may the Lord help us that you may come to a good conclusion on these things, we pray.
The way he will lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so. And I remember 'twas for me that He was slain on Calvary.
For He lead me, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Shall lead me all the way. He's the truest
of friends
to me. For I remember Calvary.
Oh, I delight
in His command. Up to be led by His dear hand, His divine will is sweet to me, and Lord, my blood stained
Calvary.
Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Shall lead me all the way. He's the truest
of friends
to me. For I remember
Calvary.
Onward I go.
No
doubt, no fear. Happy with Christ, my Savior near, trusting that I someday shall see Jesus, my friend of Calvary. Oh, He lead me, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Shall it be all the way? He's the truest
of friends
to me. For I remember
song, only trust him, only trust him. Would that not be a sweet life, to only trust him? Not your own understanding, not your reasoning, not your neighbors.
Amen.
Not the pressure that your family sometimes gives you, but just to trust him.
Hallelujah.
Come every soul, I say, oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. His precious blood, rich blessings to be in store. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Save you, me.
Brother Eddie, would you mind, brother, be kind enough to close for us in prayer? Thank you very much, brother.
Let's pray.
Yes, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
We are so thankful that tonight you have given us this opportunity to come again.
Yes, Lord.
After spending the day in our own business.
Yes, Lord.
You've given us the opportunity to come to look after the Father's business,
yes,
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
We know we can spend all our life working for this body,
yes,
but at the end of the day, we'll be disappointed.
Yes, Lord.
But we'd better stay in your presence,
yes,
as much as we can.
Hallelujah.
So that we can store for the days to come.
Amen.
For the eternity, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
The time,
yes,
we have spent here, oh Lord, we are very confident that you have given us,
amen,
some storage for,
amen,
the days to come, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And
amen.
On the, those days, we'll see the benefits of, amen, us being, amen, in this place, oh Lord. Bless your servant who has spoken from his heart, oh Lord, who has poured himself out, oh Lord, to give us what we need for our walk on this earth, oh Lord. Dear Lord, we know that as human beings, we are almost always tempted to look at the desire of this heart,
yes,
of the
Lord,
desire of this body, oh Lord.
Amen.
But we know that all this is to pass, but,
amen,
your word will stay forever, oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why,
yes,
oh Lord, we commit ourselves in your hands.
Yes,
let this moment be a memorial,
yes,
so that in the days to come, when we'll be looking after,
yes,
behind, oh Lord, we'll say, since that day,
yes,
something happened.
Yes,
let this day be a remembrance in someone's life in,
yes,
in this audience, oh Lord,
hallelujah,
so that you've done something for him or,
yes,
for
Lord,
her that she'll never forget in the days to come,
yes,
oh Lord.
Yes,
dear Lord, we commit this church into your hand.
Yes,
we know we have a challenge before us,
hallelujah,
that we have to leave this place.
Yes,
you have,
Lord,
given us such blessing time in this place,
yes, Lord,
and we'll never forget them, oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
But
you,
we,
Lord,
know that we still have a need to,
yes,
find,
Lord,
another place.
Hallelujah.
And we are so confident, oh Lord, that we are Jehovah,
yes,
Jireh,
yes, Lord,
that,
yes,
will,
Lord,
provide,
amen,
oh Lord.
Thank you,
you are,
Jesus,
your people, oh Lord.
Amen.
We don't want,
amen,
to stay home,
amen,
while we have to meet and fellowship and worship, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Provide for our,
yes,
our need, oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
Before even this need arises, oh,
amen,
Lord, you were Jehovah Jireh.
Yes,
you knew,
Lord,
that we'll be in,
yes,
need,
Lord, yes,
and you,
Lord,
have provided a place,
thank,
oh Lord.
You, amen.
And we are just waiting, looking,
yes,
upon you, that,
amen,
you bring it to fulfillment, oh Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes,
Lord, we have been looking, searching for, by our human force,
yes,
and,
Lord,
intelligence,
yes,
oh Lord,
yes, Lord,
but we think, we believe, oh Lord,
amen,
that when our strength reach the end,
yes,
you,
Lord,
will step in and provide, oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
We,
yes,
commit,
Lord,
the rest of the time in,
amen,
your hands. We commit our youth. We are going to Switzerland,
yes, Lord,
for,
yes,
these,
Lord,
meetings.
Bless,
oh dear Lord,
Jesus,
bless Brother Francois Lepicard,
yes,
who has organized these meetings,
amen,
oh Lord,
yes,
and we,
God,
commit,
yes,
all the brethren that will come from all over the different countries to meet.
Lord,
let them be
them,
the moment that they will never forget,
yes,
oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let it be for them,
yes,
memorials, oh Lord.
Amen.
I can,
yes,
see,
Lord,
in the,
yes,
the days of my youth, oh,
amen,
Lord, moments like these,
amen,
ones, oh Lord.
Yes.
Are moments that are keeping me up to today,
amen,
oh Lord.
Yes,
so,
Lord,
let them,
yes,
be the moments that they'll make new experiences,
please,
with,
Lord,
you, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We leave them into your hands, oh,
amen,
dear Lord.
Amen.
We commit our brethren that are in holidays, that,
please, Lord,
have traveled,
please, Lord,
oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
Brother Vegas and his family.
Yes, Lord.
Brother Vladimir and his,
amen,
family,
yes, Lord,
and the, all the other brethren, oh Lord,
please, Lord,
we commit, amen, them into your hands.
Please, Lord.
Let step in, oh Lord, and bring them back safely.
Please.
We will thank you for your mercy and,
amen,
for your kindness.
Amen. Amen.
Give us traveling mercy as we go,
please,
back,
Lord,
home. Bring us back again on Sunday.
Yes, Lord.
Give us blessed moments as,
please,
we'll be,
Lord,
fellowshipping in your presence, oh,
please,
Lord.
Lord.
We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. God bless, Brad. God bless. Saints, meet you on Sunday by the grace of God. Let's close with that one. I don't know why Jesus loved me. It's His grace. Amen.
I don't know why Jesus. Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory, oh, to bring to us redemption's story. Again, oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. I don't know why, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why, I don't know why he cares. I may never know why, I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. Oh, I don't know why, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know. I don't know why, I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad Jesus did.